Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyar, America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. It's Friday night. Doug McBurney, what's our first story?
Well, Bob, it's a confirmation of yet one more of your theories.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That's always scary. Yeah. What did I theorize?
Well, we'll get to what you theorized a little bit later.
All right.
But according to a government study that's just out in this past week, many terrorist groups have access to shoulder-fired anti-aircraft missiles.
Mm-hmm.
Similar.
Surface-to-air missiles.
Surface-to-air missiles. One in particular, the SA-7, which is a heat-seeking missile.
All right. Now, after the story, I'm going to tell you about the libertarian candidate here in Colorado that I debated, and I asked him about SAM, surface-to-air missiles.
Yeah.
If he thought the average citizen should be allowed to own one.
Oh, really?
But anyway, we'll get to that later.
All right.
Terrorists are more serious. Libertarians are more stupid.
They're relatively harmless.
So we'll get to the terrorist or the libertarian second.
Well, now the fear that's being generated over what happened in Kenya, obviously, that the same day they blew up the Israeli hotel there in Kenya,
right?
They apparently fired a couple of shoulder-launched, heat-seeking missiles at a jumbo jet as it was taking off from the airport there in, Mombasa?
Yeah.
Mombasa, Kenya.
They did.
Yeah, so how does this prove Bob's theory, you're asking yourself?
What theory?
The theory, Bob.
Oh, I remember the theory.
Now,
go ahead.
You hear what I said here, Bob?
I remember the theory.
They had two SA-7 heat-seeking missiles. They fired them at this giant lumbering jetliner, and they missed.
From the base of the runway,
they're sitting at the end of the runway with the missile.
That's like not being able to hit the side of a barn.
Something like that.
So what theory does that prove?
Well, the theory A-team
theory.
The A-team theory, exactly.
What is the A? Does anyone in the studio audience know the A-team theory? Yes. Okay, we got.
If you know out there in Radio Land, you can call us or at 1-800-836-9278.
We got a couple of no's. So yeah, let's not say what the A team theory is.
Maybe someone can call in and clue everyone in on the A team theory.
800-8-N-YART, 1-800-836-9278. If you get it right, then ask Mike Rosen at KOA to give you a prize.
Okay, and I have another.
If you get the answer to the question right.
You're right. We'll want you to call Clear Channel, go to their pickup desk. No, now listen, here's another hint.
I got the question right.
Here's another hint.
All right, 800-8-N-YART.
In the spring, past spring, suspected Al-Qaeda operatives used a similar SA-7 missile to try to shoot down an American plane taken off from an air base in Saudi Arabia. They missed on that occasion as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they're missing jetliners. They've missed, three times.
Maybe we should give another hint.
Another hint?
The shoe bomber.
Richard Reed, the shoe bomber.
The shoe bomber. These are all hints about what the theory, the A-team theory is.
Yeah, the A-team theory. Richard Reed, he was actually trying to light his shoes on fire with a lighter.
And he couldn't light the fuse.
He had gunpowder, dynamite, fuse material in his shoes. He couldn't light it.
I'm really thrilled that he didn't.
I'm glad.
He failed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Me too.
But the only point relevant to the theory is that he couldn't light the fuse.
He couldn't light the fuse.
And it's called the 18 theory.
Couldn't detonate the explosives in his own shoes.
Right.
Yeah. So if you
maybe he had stepped in a puddle before boarding.
Yeah, maybe that was it.
Perhaps.
Everything was a bit damp. That's all.
I don't think that was it, though.
Well, we may clue people in later on in the story, but I want to hear about the libertarian. Although I may have missed the debate with the libertarian, on Monday I heard a wonderful segment of your program. With a gentleman who denied absolute truth.
Oh, yeah.
Was funny. You took him apart in 15 minutes in a very, just a clear-cut, logical, sensible. It was awesome.
It was hysterical,
I can't remember the line. There was a line where I was just thinking, this is great.
Well, Larry from Indianapolis.
That's him, Larry.
Yeah. And he called in to criticize me because he disagrees with whatever.
Right.
And he doesn't believe in absolute truth. He doesn't believe in right and wrong.
Yeah.
I asked him if that's the case, is it more likely that your opinion is right or my opinion? Is it more likely that you're right and I'm wrong? He said, well, no.
Wait a minute. Didn't you accuse the guy of killing his mom over a six-pack?
Oh, yeah,
and you
right.
said, isn't that true? And he said, no, that's not true. And you
is
basically,
it absolutely
is
not
it absolutely
true?
Not true? And he wouldn't I mean, answer, would so I? He said, okay, it must be true. That was so awesome.
Yeah, is it absolutely not true?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, based on what I've heard.
You did.
Might be true.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it absolutely not true that you killed your mom over a six-pack? This is how stupid people are.
He was flummoxed.
There's no such thing as absolute truth.
But he got a little up there. He started saying, it ain't true. It ain't true.
Right. Right.
Anyways, now what about this libertarian? What's his? What's the libertarian's position on private ownership of surface-to-air missiles?
Okay, he said that the reason the government has the right, like police officers, to carry guns.
Mm-hmm.
See, libertarians hate God,
right?
And they're immoral. They believe they promote the right to abortion and pornography, and
right.
Yeah,
and to destroy your family with
stuff.
Drugs and
right, yeah. selling cocaine to kids or whatever. That's yeah. the libertarians. They're sick. Wackos.
Yeah.
But so this libertarian, he's doing a speech at the steps of the Capitol.
Yeah.
He's a perennial candidate.
Yeah, they have a lot of those perennial yeah. candidates.
And I've debated him on Channel 12 public TV in Denver. So I happened to be in the audience, and I asked him if when he was done, if we could debate a little. And so they invited me to speak and debate
foolishly
from the podium.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So anyway, he said the principle by which a police officer could carry a gun is that you as a civilian have the right to carry a gun, and therefore, and only because you have the personal right, does the government have the right to carry guns.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, if that's true, do you believe that the government has the right, the military, to own surface-to-air missiles? Of course they do.
Okay.
So then do I? How about some Al-Qaeda supporter at, you know,
right.
downtown Denver?
Yeah, mosque in Denver.
Yeah, lives in an apartment on Capitol Hill. And do you believe the government has the right to own nuclear weapons? Of course I do. Well, how about me? I'm a right-wing pro-life domestic terrorist.
Right.
Do I have the right to own nuclear weapons? And he was dumbfounded.
Yeah.
He didn't know. His name is David Siegel.
Yeah.
He didn't know how to answer in front of his, you know, every libertarian in the state of Colorado was there.
Mm-hmm.
It was about 30 people. But
the whole caucus.
and it's not like any of them came to his rescue.
Well,
they were all dumbfounded.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they were dumbfounded because the truth is that authority flows downhill
right.
from God through the government to the parents, to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And even the kid could yell at the cat to get off the couch.
There you
so authority goes downhill, not uphill. The government, anyway.
The libertarians will never get that. 1-800-8-NYART.
And Muslims right. cannot have Sams. Listener-supported radio. Doug, we've been on in Denver for going on a year, and we're trying to stay on by meeting our monthly shortfall.
Right.
Of about $2,000 a month. Denver's our most expensive city.
So you basically need 20 people to sign up.
To pledge $100
a month. $100
a month
is not a lot of money.
Not a lot?
No, it's not a lot of money.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
It's not a lot of money. There's a lot of people out there in the audience right now who can afford it.
And 20 people is not a lot of people either.
That's
but
true.
Our phone number, if somebody would like to help Bob in your life stay on the air past January 1st,
yeah.
is 1-800-8-N-YARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. We need 20. Have you heard how many we have now?
I don't know how many you've got now.
We have, what was it last time?
It was five the last
time
I was on.
When you were on. Now it's 11.
11 out of 20.
11.
You're more than halfway there.
I know. We're
That's
so
awesome.
Thrilled. We really are thrilled. Let me tell you where they're coming from. $100 from Morrison, Colorado.
All right.
$100 from Littleton, Colorado.
Littleton,
yeah. $100 from Westminster. $100 from Maui, Hawaii.
Maui? He doesn't even get the show.
I know, on the internet.
Oh, he gets it on the internet. Well.
$100 yeah. from Arvada, Colorado.
All right.
That's not far from our underground bunker here in the foothills.
Shh, shh, shh.
$100, $200 from Loveland, Colorado.
$200 from Loveland.
That was called in by a woman in law enforcement.
Wow.
Who said her and her husband are both in law enforcement, and they wanted to encourage others to give similarly, other police officers.
Yeah.
And $100 from Thornton, Colorado, $100 from Florida, $100 from Anchorage, Alaska, and $100 from Anderson, Indiana.
All right.
Isn't that something? Cool. So we need 9 more. Please give us a call if you like the show. You want it to stay on the air. And now,
This is the commercial on the internet only.
Yes.
This isn't going out over the airwaves.
Right. We've been talking about the plot, the audio tapes, the monthly album. You know, a guy called today from Greenville, Pennsylvania, and he ordered the monthly album.
All right.
And that is so exciting when somebody orders one of our monthlies.
Yeah, how many albums do you have now? You've got enough to basically go through the average lifespan.
Well, a couple of years.
Oh, okay. A couple of years. A
couple of years. You sign up for the monthly album.
Right.
And after 2 years, we're going to have to switch you to something else or lose you altogether.
Or just come up and produce more albums. There's a lot of albums in you, Bob.
We
got
are
a lot
producing
more
albums, but we're doing it at not a very rapid rate.
Right. But we'll increase that rate.
3 to 4 a year.
Yeah.
Let's make it 3 a year.
But there's so much already available. 1-888-8-NYART. 1-888-836-9278.
Mr. Flat Tax is on Hardball right now.
What happened to that guy?
MSNBC.
Oh, that's
nice
Forbes.
Guy. Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Man.
He just looks a little puffy.
Yeah, he looks, well.
But he's a nice guy. He advocates the flat tax, and that's good.
Yeah, I like that idea.
We need a flat tax of 5%.
A flat income tax.
Yeah, and that's
I like
it.
That idea.
Flat tax.
I don't like the idea of a sales tax. It rubs me the wrong way.
A lot of conservatives go for a sales tax. And, you know, conservatives basically are goofy.
Yeah, well,
I'm a conservative.
They say tax consumption.
Conservatives are just reactionary.
Yeah.
Whatever's going on, and they don't like what's going on, so they're going to do the opposite. So the federal government is strong, and they want to make the state strong.
Yeah.
Why? So we have strong pro-homosexual and abortion laws at the state level?
Yeah, which is
that
where,
why?
Yeah, well, that's what we'll end up with.
Right? So instead of having to fight one battle, Roe v. Wade, we got to fight 50 battles.
Hmm.
Well, then we'll win.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right. And what does God say in the Bible? Does he say the subdivisions of government are where all real power should lie? Is that what he said? Is that the principle in the Bible?
No, I think
that the subdivision should have all the real power. You know, I live in a subdivision. Maybe we should make our own country here and declare homosexuals not welcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there you have it. Anyway.
That doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work. So, for example, you shouldn't be allowed to kill people because of what race they are or rape women or kill children or be a sodomite. And that shouldn't change. Laws should not change as you drive down the street.
Amen.
But that's a principle that conservatives have never thought through.
Yeah, I think you said once that laws should not be created. They should be discovered.
Right.
I think that's a good way to go. Good rule of thumb.
Yeah, right. And so laws are real. And God, to help us out, since we're dense, he revealed quite a few of them in the Bible.
Yeah, he did.
So, anyway.
Right. The government really needs money. That's why it's a law. That's why taxes are not, in and of themselves immoral.
Right. And a sales tax, which is a conservative idea, it's a bad idea. Because I asked, there's this, the organization that advocates nationally a sales tax, it's a conservative group out of California. I had their national spokesman on for a debate. And the first question I asked him was, does the government have the right to force a citizen to become a tax collector?
To which he said,
do they have that right?
Yeah.
And he's a conservative. So he said, no. So I said, I win, you lose. What else should we talk about? Because the sales tax, the government tells every businessman, you have to collect taxes.
Right.
And so right off the bat, he lost the debate. And one of his knucklehead supporters a week later saw me at some event, said, Bob, you didn't slaughter that guy, Well, he admitted that the government didn't have the right to implement his program. And the thing with the sales tax is that it encourages strangers to conspire together to defraud the government after they've met for 20 seconds.
Right.
The government, it shouldn't do that systematically.
Yeah.
A sales tax, you know, you're going to buy a car from somebody. You say, hey, I'll pay you cash.
Mm-hmm.
That way you don't have to pay tax.
Right, right.
So sales tax is fundamentally a bad idea.
Yeah. Causes people to engage in criminal activity.
Yeah.
Wow.
It really does. It encourages it.
Sure. Interesting. Sure.
But conservatives tend to be, you know, as a group, we tend to be stupid.
Yeah, well, work on it.
Christians, too. Same thing.
They have a tendency.
All right. So the A-team.
So the A-team theory, we hadn't heard about that yet, but the clues were three misses with a shoulder launch missile and failure to light your own shoes on fire. Why are
right.
What theory of Bob's does this prove? It's a theory that you came up with quite a while back.
Right.
I'm surprised no one in the audience has been able to come up with it yet.
No.
But keep trying. By the way, it's 800-8-NYART. I got bad news from Iraq.
What happened?
And now this is news that's come out a little while ago.
Yeah.
But I, from what I understand in listening to the program, I have not heard you address this, and I think it's something that needs to be addressed here on Bob and Yart Live.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the weapons inspector. His name is Jack McGeorge. He's from Virginia. Have you heard of this guy?
No.
Well, he's one of our weapons inspectors. He's been sent to the Islamic Nation. Well, it's not an Islamic nation, is it? Iraq?
No.
Well, no, it's just a dictatorship.
Yeah, it's an an Arab nation.
It's an Arab nation.
And Saddam has written a copy of the Quran in his own blood, according to Time magazine.
Okay.
Well, he had a scribe do it. He just gave blood once every couple of weeks. And he wants the Arab world, the Islamic world, to see him as the new Nebuchadnezzar.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But no, he's not a religious.
He's not a religious man in particular.
No, and he doesn't have a religious regime.
Oh, well, then maybe this won't be such a big deal over there. This guy, Jack McGeorge, he is, in addition to being a UN weapons inspector, popularly known as an unweapons inspector.
An unscum.
An unscum inspector. Yeah, one of those guys.
If they're going to have that name, they first have to take a bath. Then try to unscum Saddam.
You got to wonder, Bob, when bureaucrats come up with these acronyms, do they ever stop to think?
To spell it out?
Unscumped Fram. Or, you know, who can even unscum? It really was called unscum.
Unscum.
How do you do that?
And just the un in general.
The un in general.
Just the un. That cracks me up. Do you want government? Do you want law? Or do you want the un?
The un.
The un-government.
See, these are obviously bureaucrats without marketing backgrounds.
The un-legislature.
They just didn't realize. The un-conference on human rights.
Right.
Well, this guy, McGeorge, in addition to being an unweapons inspector, is the co-founder and past president of a Washington, D.C. area S&M club.
Oh, come on.
Whatever that is.
Come on.
I'm sure it's not good.
S&M? Is this a true story?
This is a true story. This is yours and mine, taxpayer-funded weapons inspector.
Oh, brother.
He's also the former chairman of the board of the National Coalition for Sexual Freedom.
Oh, no. Is he a homo?
Well, let me read you what he said. His quote with people who are upset with him. He says, quote, I am who I am.
Oh,
I
brother.
Am not ashamed of who I am.
Look at that. He's claiming
not
deity.
One bit.
He's claiming deity.
Well, why not?
What is he quoting? Exodus chapter 4?
Why not? The homosexuals are practically deified by the liberal media. And this is from MSNBC.
Well, we don't know if he's homosexual, but
he says, I am who I am. I'm not ashamed of who I am. Not one bit.
Oh.
He's a homo.
Did he say it like that?
Well, We sent him over to this, Bob. By the way, the reason I bring this story up.
He's one of the unscum.
He's
got to unscum himself first.
This proves, Bob, that folks at the UN and maybe at the White House, maybe in the State Department, are listening to your suggestions on how to fight the Islamists in Iraq in particular.
Oh, yeah.
Another theory that you broached just a couple short weeks ago, just before this.
Now, that theory was during a commercial break.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was during a commercial break.
When I said, really, we don't, you know, people accuse us here at Bob and Yart Live, they accuse us of being uncompromising.
They do.
And rigid.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought maybe we could find a way to compromise. Maybe we could let homosexuals in the military.
Yeah.
If we were to, let's say, use them as ordnance and drop them on terrorists from maybe 35,000 feet.
Well, it's not.
So this is close.
Yeah, this is. They obviously took the fragment of your idea, the core of the idea,
right.
And they dropped this flaming homo in the middle of Baghdad.
They got it on KGov.com, KGOV.com. They thought it was, you know, we should set up an unKGov.com. Yeah. Then we'll really get them tuning in.
Now, listen, Bob, just so that you're not concerned
they
that
you're. They put a pervert in the middle of Baghdad.
Yeah, basically. And not that he could be distracted in Baghdad or bribed or anything like that. But just so you don't think that your government is totally dysfunctional, I want to let you know a little bit about Mr. McGeorge's background. According to MSNBC, he may be the founder of an S&M group. He may have been the head of the National Coalition for Sexual Freedom. But keep in mind that he does not possess a degree in any of the specialized fields requested for weapons inspectors, such as biochemistry, bacteriology, or chemical engineering.
Oh, great. So his only qualification is that he's a pervert.
Right. He must have met the pervert quota.
And this is one of the weapons inspectors that the whole world is trying to figure out whether Saddam is what? Dating a fish?
Yeah, whether or not he's into leather or something. I don't know.
What?
What are we investigating over there?
Of sending weapons inspectors over, what is he gonna carry, a leather whip?
All right, too much information. Too much information.
That's ridiculous.
But isn't it kind of embarrassing that our government would probably unknowing? They said they didn't do background
checks. Well,
it's the
UN, but this is an American.
Well, yeah, and it's the American contingent to the team.
He's not an American, right?
No, he's not an American.
No. And he had a lot of egg on his face.
Yeah.
Last time around, 4 years ago, when Saddam had like a nuclear weapons program right under his nose.
Yeah.
And his Geiger counter didn't go off.
My Geiger counter was jammed.
So, and anyway, Hans Blix admitted to that fiasco.
Yeah.
So now, hopefully, he'll do a better job.
So what do you think, Bob? It was I understood that this whole weapons inspection thing was really just, we're just kind of going through the motions. You pretty confident that that's still what's going on here? They said they found something yesterday, but then reports were denied and unconfirmed, and then just vanished.
Well, as of right now, if I were in charge of this, the inspections,
okay.
I wouldn't want to find anything serious until after the 8th.
I see.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, because that's the deadline when they're supposed to tell us what they have.
Yeah, they're supposed to give us about 4,000 pages of stuff.
Right. Well, they handed it over, or there's been a
day early. No?
Well, there's been someone saw it, and it's some 30,000 pages of Arabic.
30,000. Written in Arabic?
Of course.
What good is it? What are we going to do with it?
Who are these people writing these things in Arabic?
Right. We have like 2 translators at the UN.
And I think there's 4, but 2 of them you can't
probably
ever find.
Probably the homo is one of the translators.
I was going to say.
He doesn't even speak Arabic,
no,
does he?
I think we fired
but
all the
you know
homo
what?
Translators.
Maybe screaming in Arabic sounds the same as screaming in English. So maybe there is some purpose to him being on the team. So anyway, I would wait until then before I caused any kind of a big uproar.
Right.
But the inspectors are not exactly – they said they're trying to be neutral between the U.S. position and Iraq's position.
Yeah.
It'd be like being neutral between the Allies and Hitler. Well, we're trying to be neutral here.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's stupid. We're trying to be neutral. And Saddam says they're a bunch of spies. No kidding. What does he think? It would have been news if he said – there are a bunch of homosexuals dressed up in tutus. That would have been news. But there are a bunch of spies. What? They're just spying on us. No kidding, Saddam. They're in your palaces.
That's what we. That's what they're there to do is spy, Mr. Hussein.
What a moron.
So you know, that reminds me, Bob, the story you were telling earlier.
Yeah.
Well, I can't say it now.
No.
We got to go to a commercial break. Give us a call if you want to participate in the program. 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-8-NYART.
I agree. I agree. We're censoring ourselves here.
Yeah, well, you have to restrain yourself at some times for the sake of, what's it called? Not dignity, but propriety.
Propriety.
Yeah, propriety.
and notoriety.
But one place where you don't restrain yourself is in the pages of the plot, the manuscript.
Unrestrained.
That is pretty unrestrained. You go, you take off both gloves and go up against all kinds of theological arguments.
Well, it's really fun, the plot.
Oh, it's great.
My son Nathaniel, he's 17,
yeah,
and homeschooled. And for his Bible curriculum, we've never done this before, but this year he's going through the plot.
Wow.
And so he and I got to go out for coffee yesterday morning. You know, I'm his teacher,
right,
although he gets most of his work done over the internet with Alpha Omega.
Oh.
So, but the plot I'm doing along with some computer science work. And so we went out for coffee and we paged through the first 70 pages of the plot, page after page, each heading, each subject, and he explained to me what it was about. And he really has a tremendous grasp, except for one part.
What part is that?
I think he skipped.
What part did he skip?
Ananias and Sapphira.
Ananias and Sapphira?
He couldn't remember what was up. He knew the story perfectly.
Yeah.
But he couldn't remember why it was in there. Why it was in the book of Acts.
Oh.
What's its reason for existence?
Oh, yes.
Why do we know the story? So he had to reread that section.
Now, Ananias and Sapphira, they're the two that sold their land and kept back part of the money and lied to the Holy Spirit?
Right.
And God killed them.
And they were killed.
Yeah.
In the New Testament.
Why would that be in the New Testament? That's unusual.
It is unusual.
I'm going to have to go back and reread my copy. So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And not only is it unusual that in the New Testament, two believers would get killed by God because they didn't give enough money to the ministry.
Yeah. Listener-supported radio.
But I actually have heard that as a text for some TV preacher.
Oh, you'd have to have some nerve.
Who said that God's killed people before for not giving money. And God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Get out your checkbook. Get it out.
1-888-8-N-YARD.
All right, we're on Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-836-9278. Hey, Doug, we haven't told the people for a while that that we have Denver Bible Church.
Oh, yeah, Denver Bible Church. We have it every Sunday, by golly.
Come and visit Sunday morning.
Come on out
Sunday morning, Sunday evening. And just because you live in Springfield, Massachusetts, is not a good excuse.
No, no.
I mean, people, a church alive is worth the drive.
Or there are planes.
Or the fly. All right.
We'd have to come up with something.
You could fly out here.
You could fly out just for a Sunday and visit.
Yeah.
It is a good time, though.
People do. Most Sundays we have visitors.
Yeah, we got a great group, you know. A bit self-righteous, but, you know, overall a good group.
A bit self-righteous.
Well,
so
you know
funny.
What it is? I think a lot of people are intimidated by the fact that I think 99.9% of our families are homeschoolers.
Homeschool
and
church.
And people get intimidated.
And strong marriages.
Yeah, good solid marriages
and
in our
neat
church.
Kids, neat teenagers.
Yeah. Kids who behave themselves.
The kind of kids that you want to be with when you go to a restaurant and have dinner with 8 people, 10, 12 people. You want these teenagers to be there because they're intelligent, they're fun, they're respectful.
Yeah.
So cool.
And even some of the little bitty ones, you know.
Oh, the young kids.
That take correction so quickly. I got a friend who refuses to go to a restaurant with a 2-year-old.
Ah.
And we're going to take him with our 2-year-old just to prove to him
just
that it can
prove.
Be done.
Right.
That you can restrain this child.
Exactly.
Anyway, it is a great church. Sunday morning, we have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m.
Yeah.
And that goes just for about an hour. And then we do fellowship. We hang around, eat some donuts and coffee. And then we do a little music. We have a great
sermon. Not just any donuts.
Not just any donuts, but Krispy Kreme donuts.
Krispy Kreme.
And they don't even pay to advertise on here.
That's right.
They don't give us the donuts for free.
We should send them the bill.
We need to, yeah.
Hey, take a note, right? Krispy Kreme.
We need to log this all down.
$400 advertising.
That's
invoice.
Right. We'll get that invoice out right away.
Okay.
But it is a great church. I mean, I can't encourage people enough
to
come.
Fun.
Even if you send your kids to the public schools, and even if you're not on board with everything, come out and just see what it's like, because you meet some interesting folks.
Yeah, but you'll have to take your kids out of public school if you come more than 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Because we're just not going to put up
we're
with that
kind of
garbage. We're
not going to tolerate that. I'm sorry.
I mean, we don't want to stand by and watch your kids being destroyed.
No, we couldn't do that.
So, and if you want to have a strong marriage, if you want your daughters to grow up learning how to be their own first line of defense and not be used by the guys
yeah.
that are out there, then come to our church or a church like it.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. All okay. right, Bob.
So now, what do we got?
I was
news?
Tempted to lead with this story.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I restrained myself.
All right.
But from the Associated Press, and again, this has been the story has been out for a little over a week, but I haven't heard it addressed. At least, in fact, I don't think I've heard it addressed anywhere. Mm. But a group in Switzerland, I'm sorry, in Paris. Mm. Well, hold on a second here. Don't you hate it when you mark up a story and then you can't tell anything
yeah.
about it?
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
The live tape, radio.
The
informal.
Osama bin Laden audio tape. What did I tell you?
Osama. Doug.
I said, Bob, if there's no video, it's fake.
Yeah. In fact, you made a prediction a year ago.
Yeah, I did.
That
make
if
a prediction.
The Mullah Omar.
Mullah Omar and Osama.
That if they didn't show up on some videotape within a year.
Right.
I remember they're dead.
They're dead.
That's what you said.
And that was like November.
All right.
After their most, you know, they were doing like a videotape a week back then, you
yeah.
remember? Yeah, they sure weren't as shy of the cameras, but suddenly nobody
Osama,
can get these guys on film.
And they were always sitting on the floor.
Well,
I couldn't figure that out. Why are they always sitting on the floor?
To be closer to the goats.
Even outside with the, you know, just
yeah.
sitting in the dirt.
Yeah, sitting in the mud with the flies flying all over them.
Get that's, a little civilized.
Bob, that's where they want to take the whole
chair.
World. They want to take the whole
everybody
world
into the dirt.
Sitting on a chunk of ox in the dirt.
Right. But anyway,
so
you
institute.
Said that, and then a couple weeks ago when Osama's latest tape came out.
Yeah, his audio tape.
I remember you came into the studio and you said, Bob, he's dead. This is a forgery.
This is fake, phony fake. Fraud. Yeah.
And I said, oh, duh, come on. Everybody's saying it's real.
Yeah.
You said, no, it's not real. And I said, but everybody said it's real. So anyway, we never got to it on the show.
We never got to it on the show.
But now the Swiss have come out.
Yeah, a Lausanne, which I think is in France.
No, Switzerland.
Yeah, Switzerland. See, that's why it's got
Swiss.
A dateline Paris and then it says Lausanne. That's why
that,
I was confused.
That was the confusion.
Anyway,
part.
The Dalmol Institute for Perceptual Artificial Intelligence says it's 95% certain.
Perceptual.
Perceptual Artificial Intelligence.
Oh, brother.
Well, it's this Dalmol Institute.
Yeah.
They speak up on all these type of things.
Yeah.
I've heard of these
yeah.
guys.
And so anyway, they're saying it's not
they compared it
authentic.
With 20 authenticated recordings of bin Laden's voice. They say 95% certainty it is not Osama bin Laden.
And the fact that the tape is such poor quality.
Yeah, you'd think.
You would think if Osama's going to say something, maybe he doesn't videotape because half his face is hanging off.
Well, no, I hadn't thought about
his
that.
Arm. But maybe he looks stupid, but at least if he's going to do an audio tape, make it clear.
Get a good quality tape.
Right.
But then again, you know, he's probably been in the basement of someone's house, if he's alive. He's in the basement of someone's house in Pakistan.
In Pakistan.
And he hasn't left there.
Right.
He hasn't seen the light of day.
Mm.
And maybe all they could get down was a cheesy little, you know, tape recorder from the
80s. So anyway, so maybe he's dead.
I think he's dead, Bob. Or he'd have made another video.
And I had a airport security. I don't want to, you know, say who it was, but he's meeting with an FBI guy, and he called up and he said, Bob, we're going to be talking about terrorism and all, and so he and I just talked, and he said, where do you think Osama is? So I said, he's in a basement in Pakistan. It's the first supporter's house he got to after Tora Bora,
right.
And he's scared to death to leave.
Right.
And he ain't going to the store. He's not going to the mosque.
No.
No ritual cleansing.
No. In fact, he's wetting himself regularly.
Well, and so anyway, that's why with all the diapers on the head and all, he's just in the basement.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and he's afraid to leave.
Yeah, if he's alive at all. He's as close to living hell as you can probably get.
Yeah.
You
know? So we'll see what they'll do.
He's not doing so well.
But anyway,
until I see a video, I'm going to remain committed to the prediction that the guy is dead.
Right.
And that Mullah, too. Both of them.
Right.
I mean, the guy's 6'3". How do you not find him in Pakistan or wherever? Anyway, but there's huge news of the day, Bob. I can't believe we hadn't got to this yet.
Mm.
And normally I hesitate to mention celebrities, although there is documented evidence that in radio,
mm-hmm.
the more celebrity names you mention, the more ratings you'll get.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but we've shied away from that. It's another way we've shot ourselves in the foot on the radio, by just not continually pounding the celebrity news beat.
Right. Like what? Like I was telling James Dobson last week.
Yeah.
You know, I said, first I said, hey, George, come over here and join us.
George.
And then I told them both off. No, only kidding. Only kidding. Go ahead.
All right. Now, we're going to do just a little celebrity news. But only because I think you could probably pull something of some value out of this story. The story's been covered. It's the Winona Ryder shoplifting saga.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
It's been covered hour after hour on all the cable channels.
Ad infinitum.
Sunday night, two-hour specials.
Ad nauseum.
Nothing of value has been said about this story.
No.
Nothing of any socially redeeming value.
And I doubt we'll say anything of value.
I want to give you a chance,
okay,
Bob.
Let's try. Okay. Let's see if we come up with the one redeeming factor for bringing this story up.
Right. And then let Winona never be mentioned again. Let's pray for that.
Let it be written, so let it be done.
Okay, now she was sentenced today for her shoplifting crime to 3 years probation, right? And she was ordered to undergo psychological and drug counseling.
Okay. That's all.
Psychological, drug counseling. She was also sentenced to perform 480 hours of community service and pay more than $1,000 in fines, $10,000 in fines and restitutions.
Mostly restitution.
Okay. Mostly. Yeah, hopefully mostly restitution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the judge chastised the actress, warning her, quote, if you steal again, you will go to jail, unquote. Mm. And he also said, quote, He said that she disappointed many people and that she would have to face certain issues in her life. But he said, quote, it is not my intention to make an example of you, the judge said.
Now, there is something newsworthy.
Something newsworthy
finally,
in the story.
That's exactly what the whole purpose of criminal justice is, as a deterrence to make an example of people who commit crimes so that others are deterred. And this blithering idiot judge doesn't even know the main function of his job, to be a deterrent, to make an example out of her.
So that's really the judge should want to make an example of her.
Of course, of every criminal, so that others would be deterred. But, you know, but he did make an example out of her.
Yeah, if
basically,
you think about it.
If you're a felon, if you steal enough to get into the felony category, we're going to make you do community service.
I thought community service was a good thing. You volunteer to go help sick, deaf children because you want to, right? That's community type service.
Right. We've turned it into a punishment.
Yeah, it's a punishment now to go help the sick children at the hospital.
And I have never done that with my kids.
What's up with that?
If they disobey, I've never said, okay, now you have to read the Bible for 2 chapters. I've never done that because I'm not that stupid, you know? And so, but that's what they do. Community service is a punishment. Liberals are idiots. They're just idiots.
Okay.
But then again, so is the average conservative.
Bob, you've
that's
you've
it. I give
pulled
up.
Something of value. Do you want to hear what her press agent said in a statement?
Really? No, I don't. Forget him. Let's take a break. I'd rather hear a commercial. The monthlies, Doug. The monthlies. The monthlies.
The monthlies. Which monthly? We got the monthly Bible study. What do you got? You got sermons you send out. You got albums.
The monthly studies. The monthly albums.
The albums are the big one.
And the monthly Best of Bob.
The monthly Best of Bob.
Yeah, and the monthlies. It sounds like a sitcom or something.
Yeah, the monthlies.
The monthlies.
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, we could have a sitcom where the dad is the hero.
Yeah.
And the teenagers are the stupid ones.
Now that would be good. Doug, why don't you say these things on the air instead of on the commercial on the internet? That's funny. That is good.
A
sitcom where the dad is the hero and the teenagers are the morons. They've got that already. It's called reality TV.
Well, we could call it the monthlies, and it would be based around the father's regular consumption of Bob Enyart live albums and tapes and videos and everything else that he gets on a monthly basis.
So we have these different monthly offerings.
Yeah.
And they are the monthly album, $34.95. You
get a Bible teaching album.
Right. Audio tapes every month.
Yeah.
Soon enough, you can have either audio tapes or CDs.
Don't wait until we get that all done. We're going to make the move to CDs.
That's right.
That's huge.
I always mention things too early.
Oh, but Bob, it's so huge. How can you keep it from just bubbling up?
Revelation Volume 1 and Volume 2 are almost done.
Digital.
But the artwork's not done.
So what is it, like labels. A six-disc set?
No, one disc is an album.
And it replaces anywhere?
Six tapes.
Six tapes. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's cool, right?
That's amazing.
So you pop that baby in your dashboard CD, and then you listen to that, and you don't have to pop in and out six tapes.
Yeah, and so people are going to get higher quality, right?
Definitely higher quality
CDs
sound.
Last longer. They're less prone to damage or destruction, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
They're easier to store.
That's
to
right.
Carry
You'll be able to, instead of...
So, all right, that just leaves the one question. How much do we raise the price?
Ah!
I mean, you're giving people better qualities or storage longer lasting.
Yeah, no, we won't raise the price.
You're going to leave the prices the same.
Same low price.
Amazing.
Same low
Amazing.
Station.
Bob, you're so generous with your audience to give them such a vast improvement in quality.
Well, it will be an improvement.
Without
so I'm
raising
excited
the price.
About that.
That
but
is
it's
awesome.
Not available.
But almost. But get the albums now.
The first rule of advertising... Only advertise what you have.
Well, we've got Revelation Volume 1 and 2.
Not yet.
Almost.
So we got the monthly albums, the monthly sermons, the monthly...
Bible study,
and the monthly Best of Bob.
Call and sign up for a monthly 1-888-836-9278.
All right. Hey, Doug, before we get to the next story, we have an instant message here. And it says, now this is where the show messes up.
No.
Making fun of sin instead of explaining it.
Making fun
that
of sin.
We're making fun of sin. So stop making fun.
Well, wait a minute.
Just explain it.
Well, how we have to sit here and explain every violent,
all right,
disgusting
so
sin.
Don't make fun of people who put drugs up their nose. Just explain.
Yeah, just explain.
That it's stupid to do. Don't make fun of people who worship dirt.
Yeah, right.
Just
right.
explain it. People who worship nature,
yeah.
don't make fun of them. Like, what does it mean to worship nature anyway? What does that mean?
Well.
You worship.
Let's say you're
dirt.
You're in a public restroom. Right?
Okay.
Let's say you're in the stall. You finished what needed to be done. You
oh,
put your
no.
reading material away.
Oh, no.
You stand up right there, Bob. You are in church.
You're in church.
Sure, you could get right
you're
down on your knees.
You're worshiping nature.
That's right, and worship nature.
Worship nature.
You come face to face with your God.
In other words, before you flush, pray. Pray before you flush. And I don't even know how a liberal who worships nature,
yeah,
you know, Gaia, Mother Earth and all.
All that, yeah.
The cycles of nature. I don't know how they could even stand to flush their God.
Down the toilet. Yeah.
How can you do that? So don't make fun of those people. Just explain it.
Well, now how are you going to get anyone's attention trying to explain why worshiping the earth is wrong? Sure, we could get into a dry theological discussion of why worshiping the earth is wrong.
Yeah.
But who's going to listen to that?
Yeah, but, you know, and in the Bible, does the Bible ever make fun of the wicked?
I think the Bible actually accused someone's God of being in the bathroom at one point.
That's
if
a good
I'm not
point.
Mistaken.
Elijah, just before he executed 450 liberals.
Well, now, wait a minute. Liberals?
Right before he did that on Mount Carmel,
yeah.
They were praying to their God, and he said, well, you guys better pray louder because he can't hear you because either he's sleeping or he's on the toilet. So yell louder. And so Elijah's, you know, cracking up at these morons.
Was Elijah all alone? He was just on his own in that deal, wasn't he?
Well, he probably had help.
Hopefully. He had some guys standing around with him who were just going, ha, ha, good one, Elijah, on the toilet.
Right, but then he killed him.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
450 of them. So he made fun of them, and then he killed them.
Now, haven't killed anyone.
I remember that thing with the Gideonites. No, the Midianites.
The Midianites.
The Jebusites. No, wait, it was the
electric
parasites.
Lights.
The termites. One of those ites. They were It was Gideon and the Midianites.
Okay.
And there was a horde of Midianites encamped against Israel. And Gideon, with his small band of 300, what did they have? They didn't have weapons. They had torches and horns or something.
And, pots.
Pots. And they went there, and it was an absolute slaughter because the Midianites had – there was a nightmare.
Yeah.
That they were being attacked.
Right.
And they were defeated.
Right.
And the nightmare, they were being attacked.
So God sent this vision of a mighty angel going through and just wiping them out.
No, right? the nightmare was they were being attacked by a loaf of bread.
So God
gives them a nightmare that they're being attacked by a loaf of bread. They get so horrified, they wake up in the middle of the night and they kill one another in horror, thinking that the bread was upon them.
The bread is upon us.
And so talk about mocking the wicked and
making fun
of the wicked.
Yeah.
It's so funny. And so, you know, and the few that escape, they get back home to Midian.
Yeah.
And the people want to know, what happened? I mean, we sent you with 100,000 and 17 come back. Where is everybody? It was a terrible slaughter. We were attacked by a loaf of bread.
We were attacked in the night by a loaf of bread.
You were attacked. What? We were attacked by a loaf of bread. Speak clearly. What happened? We were attacked by a loaf of bread, okay? By a loaf of bread. I mean, God is mocking the wicked.
Yeah.
When he says, what do you worship wooden idols for? You cut a branch off of a tree, and with half of it you make your lunch, and the other half you make into your god.
Yeah.
Do you know how stupid that looks?
That is a great line.
Yeah. Well,
Bob, I got to tell you, who's this instant message from? You can't tell,
somebody,
right? Just somebody out there in the ether?
Yeah.
Well, I think if you look at
the— Nice guy. I'm sure it's a nice guy.
Well, I'm sure he's extremely nice.
Yeah.
But if you look at the history of the world since Christians stopped mocking the wicked—
Right.
I think you could make a case that we need
to
start—
You got more wicked.
We need to start mocking a little bit more. People have stopped realizing what's ludicrous and outrageous.
Right.
You know, you can't make fun of it anymore.
Right. You can't make fun of it. You can't even— The only thing you can make fun of is the conservative Christian.
Sure, right.
Like if we made our own sitcom, how could we do it?
Our own sitcom?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. If we were going to do a sitcom—
Say we titled it The Monthlies.
The Monthlies. We'd go against the grain.
Yeah.
So let's see. It would be a family type thing, right?
Yeah, that would work.
But in our sitcom, the father would be the hero. All
right.
And the teenagers would be the stupid ones.
Perfect.
That's
perfect.
Right.
right. So we should do that.
Yeah. And let's see. The mother, what would the mother do? She would rely on the father.
Yeah, right.
At
she
least
would say, well, you're the head of the house.
Right. She would say, yes, dear, a lot.
Right.
That would be fun.
She would say, yes, Kenneth.
That would be fun. Now, wait a minute. Where were we? I was talking about something serious, and then we got distracted.
Nothing serious.
We were. We were talking about the fact that we've stopped making fun of the heathens, and now large groups of men can wear eyeshadow and women's clothes and march down the street, and nobody makes fun of them.
That's right.
Can you believe that's happening?
See, that's how desperate we are as a society for a good dose of mocking and ridicule.
Someone should be able to look at that parade and start and say, those guys are idiots.
They are freaks.
Somebody should make fun of those guys.
We should drop some of that ordinance on the parade. Now, that would be poetic justice.
Scooped. Oh, Bob, speaking of men walking down the street dressed as women, I've got a story from Frankfort, Kentucky. There's a lawsuit that's been reinstated in the courts there against a doctor who revealed a gentleman's HIV positive status to his employer.
Oh, no.
Apparently,
did he also reveal that it was a gentleman?
Well,
maybe he shouldn't have even said that it's a man.
That's true.
So an employer had an employee take a physical or something.
Yeah, well, he has a workman's comp thing.
Okay, and the doctor said male, 42 years old.
Yeah.
Right there, you got a lawsuit. How dare you infer I'm a male? Is that what the lawsuit's about?
No. Well, no. The lawsuit, the doctor had to send the bill. It's a workman comp thing, so he sent the bill to the guy's employer.
Yeah.
Well, in the bill, it noted that the guy was HIV positive and had once been treated for colon cancer.
And it noted he was a guy.
It noted he was a guy yet again, in fact, on several occasions.
Gender disclosure. There's a lawsuit right there. There's a lawsuit waiting to happen. Gender disclosure. He told my boss I was a man. What right does he have to declare my gender? Anyway, so this he's suing because he said he was HIV positive.
Well, the doctor inadvertently, according to the doctor, didn't realize.
Inadvertently.
The doctor.
He forgot. This was the first secret disease.
Well, the doctor said, look, I put all the papers in the pile where they're supposed to go. Yeah. So, you know, one of them says the guy's HIV positive. What can I do?
The homosexuals came out of the closet and the AIDS went in the closet.
Yeah.
You can't
exactly.
tell anybody. All right, let's go to Golden, Colorado. Mike, speak your mind. Hello, Mike.
Yes, hello.
Yes, Mike, you're on.
Oh, this is K-Man. I didn't know you were talking to me.
Oh, wait, K-Man, I didn't know I'm talking to you either.
Oh,
Mike's
man.
On the other line. Okay, Mike. Come on, Mike.
Several weeks ago, right before the election, you were talking, and you mentioned that the platform of the Democratic Party was almost one for one against the Ten Commandments. And I was wondering if that was in writing or had more information on that. That sounds very interesting to get a hold of some of that.
Oh, I wonder if we have that in writing, Deb.
Well, Bob probably did it just extemporaneously.
Well, and I would say the Republican platform is awfully close to the Democratic platform. But, for example, thou shalt not murder. You could just jot this down real quick, Mike.
Yeah.
Thou shalt not murder. Mm-hmm. They approve of killing unborn children. Thou shalt not commit adultery. The Democratic Party stands for all forms of sexual immorality being legalized.
Yeah.
Thou shalt not steal.
They steal money from
socialism.
They force me to give money to the government,
yeah.
and then they give it to other people who haven't earned it. 50%
tax rate,
yeah.
and they want to raise our taxes more.
Right.
But usually the Republicans are the ones that actually raise them. And then you have thou shalt not commit perjury in the Ten Commandments. And we've got, well, even Bill Clinton.
Well, yeah, I mean,
is proof that perjury is acceptable. So anything else, Mike?
Wait a minute. What about honor your father and mother?
Well, yeah, just don't honor your father and mother. Just stick them in a nursing home and the government will pay.
Right. Honor your father and mother as long as they're both of the same sex, at least in America today.
Right.
Anyway, there's others, I'm sure.
Yeah, but Mike, no, we never wrote it down.
Okay, well, that's good. And I was listening last night, and I mean, I'm, you know, a conservative, and I'm for Bush, and then I hear you talking about how he's appointing some judges that, you know, don't believe in the conservative lifestyle.
Well, he appoints almost exclusively pro-abortion judges. At least he filled the Texas Supreme Court with pro-aborts.
And anyway, the bottom line is you know, your person learns a lot listening to your program, and
well,
I just appreciate it.
And, Mike, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Call again sometime. Let's go to, we're out of time. K-Man.
Hey,
man,
K-Man. I just want to say,
yeah.
Hey, gentlemen, amen, K-Man, amen.
Amen, K-Man.
Amen, gentlemen. Hey, I just appreciate your show and even just enjoy listening to it. And you guys, most of the time, you have me laughing. I can't.
K-Man, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
How do you feel about mocking and making fun of the wicked?
Oh, man, don't hurt them, Bob.
We're trying to get their attention, K-Man. They're headed off the cliff. We want to let them know that if they don't repent, that the living God is not going to be pleased with them.
I know, that's right. Well, let me give you this one, Romans 1. Uh-oh.
Romans 1. That was good, K-Man. Romans 1, he got that one.
Don't pull that one out, K-Man. That's a loaded gun.
Doug, we're out of time. Here's the music.
What a great time. I love Friday nights.
And look, the show engineer's on the phone.
Yeah.
Somebody from the studio audience stepped up to increase the volume.
All right.
of the bumper music.
You got a good crew here.
That's
good
right crew. Out of the studio audience.
Nice crew, nice bumper.
Hear that volume coming up?
Hear that?
How smooth that's
smooth.
Coming?
Smooth. That guy's got...
And this is right out of the studio audience. This is amazing. We're paying our engineer too much. Obviously, anybody could do this.
Yeah.
And eventually, when the music gets loud enough, that means we have to be off
the
air.
That means we have to get off the air. But it was a lot of fun, Bob. Thanks much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Doug. Next time, let's laugh a little more, right?
All right.
This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.